This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, all on my own once again, as we're all still locked down here. It's going to be fun. Anyway, we've got a packed lineup of guests. We're going to be talking throughout the show about heating systems, air conditioning, renewables, and all that kind of stuff. Gas boilers, basically, and air conditioning units. You might think that's not a particularly fascinating subject, but of course it's something that's going to impact us all over the next two or three years, because the government are committed to reducing carbon output and have a number of rules coming into place over the next 10 years or so that will mitigate against what we're doing at the moment to heat our homes. So do listen out for that. We've got two fantastic guests talking about that. We're joined by Jules in one of the interviews as well, which is lovely. But we want to hear from you, all the businesses out there, and you can get in touch with me in all the usual ways. You could in fact call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. You could email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk, but by far and away the easiest way to get in touch is to tweet me and use the hashtag BBunker. And we've had a huge number of tweets already, which is lovely. So do keep them coming and I will try and read them all. But first of all, I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsor. The show is sponsored by leading employment law firm Locke Associates Group, and they'll be bringing you regular news, information and help with employment law, health and well-being at work. If you want to find out more about Locke Associates, go to their website, which is www.lockassociates.co.uk, and that's Locke spelled L-O-C-H. So a huge thank you to the lovely folks at Locke Associates Group for supporting our show. Without you, we couldn't do it. The most important thing of the whole show today, though, first and foremost, is to wish a great big lovely happy birthday to Tracy Ferguson. I hope you have the most wonderful day, Tracy, and very, very many happy returns. Have a great birthday. Right, there's a couple of things I want to kick off with. I've had an email from Zeenat Narani, and she says she is volunteering along with six other expert professionals in coordination with eight Rotary clubs in the borough of Bromley, and they've been working together to help people who've recently lost employment or become redundant, seeking new opportunities mainly due to COVID, and helping them get back onto their feet through a weekly work club. The club is led by Christine Atkinson, who's the Assistant District Governor for Bromley Rotary Clubs. These seven sessions will be presented weekly from January, and it was kicked off by Zeenat Narani on unemployment and mental health, getting back on your feet with confidence, followed by advice such as writing a killer CV, interview techniques, financial planning, job search, and for those more able to, how to start your own business. You can find out more details about upcoming workshops on this fantastic scheme by going to their website, which is www.rotary-ribi.org/clubs. That's www.rotary-ribi.org/clubs. There'll be more details about this on the Mindset Matters radio show on Friday the 22nd, when Christine will be joining Darren Wheel of Intune PR, and there'll be guests on Zeenat's show on that Friday. So that's the 22nd of January on the Mindset Matters show. So do listen out for that as well. So thank you for that, Zeenat. Right, I've also got a request from our lovely, lovely friends and partners in crime in the world of radio, internet radio, the lovely folks at Sound of Spitfire. And this is a request to help them. The Sound of Spitfire continue to deliver amazing music shows via internet radio. Let me tell you a bit about their journey, their background. Spitfire Radio originally served Southampton, Christchurch and the New Forest. In December 2017, the station closed. In January 18, the station ownership was transferred and relocated to Spalding in South Lincolnshire. It was officially relaunched as the Sounder Spitfire on the 2nd of April 2018, but then they ceased broadcasting on the 31st of January 2019 to enable changes to the format and a new technical platform. After a staged return through March to May 2019, they completed the change format in June 2019 and are currently broadcasting from 7am to midnight, and they will continue to do so. They have a range of programmes that will entertain and inform, with the local and national contributors providing a diverse mix of music. We ensure there's something of interest to everyone. Although based in the South Holland area of Lincolnshire, there's plenty of content that listeners from all over the UK and further afield can enjoy. But to do this, they need to comply with national and international licensing regulations. Plus, they need new servers and stuff like that. And that all costs money, and they haven't got any. So they've launched a GoFundMe. And if you could contribute a few pounds or a few pennies or anything you can afford, it would be greatly appreciated. Their GoFundMe can be found at www.gofundme.com/Sound of Spitfire Internet Radio Service. That's gofundme.com/Sound of Spitfire Internet Radio Service. Or you can follow them on their Twitter at Sound of Spitfire. That's at Sound of Spitfire. And do listen in. It's a fabulous station. They play a lovely mix of music, and they have some fantastic shows and a great audience. And there's a lot of audience participation on Twitter, as there is with the Bunker Show as well. So do give them a follow. Do spare them a few pounds if you can, and do support them. Thank you very much. Right. Let's start with some of these tweets, shall we? And now what's happened? My Twitter's gone off. Have I been banned? It seems like everyone else has been. Chips and Dinks, it's the second Tuesday in January. Are you sticking to your New Year's resolutions? Good question. Perhaps make a new one to listen in or catch up with Vanilla Web on the Business Bunker Show, supporting businesses through the lockdown and beyond. Well, thank you. That's the lovely Bev and Tony at the fantastic Chips and Dinks. Have you seen, for those of you that follow them on Twitter, Chips and Dinks, they've been doing some fantastic stuff, recycling furniture and upcycling and making things, and absolutely brilliant. Do check it out. What else have we got? The lovely Kim Stevens at Care in Kent. I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker for all the Care in Kent home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. A massive thank you to our Care in Kent teams for their outstanding care and devotion every single day. If you see us out and about, give us a wave. Stay safe. And that's love from Kim. Of course, Kim, and do keep up the fantastic job you and your team do. We really do appreciate it, especially at this time when they're putting their health at risk to help us. So thank you so much for doing that, and to your lovely team. There's loads of birthday wishes coming on for the lovely Tracy Ferguson, which is as it should be. A charity buddy talking to a new listener, Diversity Designs, busy life for me on the Twitter. Give them a follow. They're new to listening in, as recommended by my lovely friend Martin Reeves at Charity Buddy. Thank you, Martin, for doing that. Terry Botfield has tweeted, have a great show, Business Bunker. Have you reviewed what happened last year? Take the lessons and build into your plan. If you want to discuss this one-to-one, message me, he's saying. So if you want some mentoring or coaching, and you want to look at you know, where you've been, where you're going, then talk to Terry. He has the most wonderful Twitter handle, so it's worth a follow in its own right. Give TD Botty a follow on the Twitter. Grace Church Treasury Risks. Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, could we have a shout out, please? We have a combined total of 80 years of experience in the foreign exchange markets. We help importers and exporters manage exchange risk and volatility. We are Grace Church Treasury. If you follow them on the Twitter, Grace Church TRC is their Twitter handle, and they're based at Gatwick, at the airport there. So Grace Church Treasury, give them a follow. I've got a thing I'm going to read out later from Golden Homes, but the Community Car Service, who are a voluntary organisation based in Tunbridge Wells, managed by Lorraine Ash, and they manage a volunteer car service with lots of lovely volunteer drivers that drive elderly people to their medical and daycare appointments. So dig them a follow. It's a fantastic thing they do, and it's a out in rural areas especially, it's a lifesaver for old people. You know, I know my mum, who who, bless her, is 92 this Friday. Happy birthday for Friday, Mum. When she was given her appointment for her vaccinations for COVID, it was at a place that's 20 miles from where she lives. And, of course, she doesn't drive anymore. So, and there's no such thing as public transport between villages in Kent anymore. So it's difficult to get places. So the community car service offers a fantastic service, completely voluntary, to help people get around the county. So do give them some support as well, if you will. What else have we got? We got loads today. Athelbray. Hello, Business Bunker, from a soggy paddock wood. Our free web... It was wet this morning, wasn't it? It was chucking it down when I left home in Tenterton this morning. And Paddock Wood is just as soggy, apparently. Our free webinar sessions on the 9th of February are available to book. GDPR and data specialist Andy Stiles will be delivering 60-minute sessions to identify what businesses need to do to remain compliant now that Brexit has happened. You can join the webinars between 9 and 10 or between 1 and 2 p.m. So if you want to find out more about that, the easiest thing to do is to follow Athelbray on the Twitter. Athelbray LTD is their Twitter handle, or go to their website, which is athelbray.co.uk. So do have a look at that. Right. I also want to tell you about some other things that are happening before I get round to playing my cheesy tunage. The University of Kent has announced a recovery innovation fund, and there's a hashtag for it, which is hashtag RI fund. And the Recovery Innovation Fund can provide your small or medium-sized business, including third sector organisations, with up to £7,500 to engage with Kent's expertise, with the opportunity to foster a long-term partnership. You will get tailored advice and support from one of our academics experts that's relevant to your business needs. So there's a lot of information here. So the easiest way to do this is to go to their website and have a look at it. And that can be found at www.kent.ac.uk/enterprise/COVID support. So that's the University of Kent Recovery Innovation Fund, worth £7,500 to a small business or a charity. And find out about it at kent.ac.uk/enterprise/COVID support. What a fantastic thing. I guess what they're going to do is put you in touch with a subject expert from their academic faculty that's going to help you, you know, sort out where you're going. And blimey, we all need that when this fiasco is over and we're trying to put everything back together and recover our economies. There's going to be a lot of very fundamental things that have changed once we're out of this epidemic. As I mentioned earlier about the community car service, I came across them due to seeing this, which is a message from Golding Homes, the social housing provider in Maidstone. And they say, do you know of any organisations who have been supporting people during lockdown? If you could tag them into our Twitter handle, we want to continue to help communities affected by COVID-19. And so we're providing funding from our community chest to support this. So if you're an organisation that's been supporting people or helping people during lockdown, there may be an opportunity to get some funding through the Golding Homes Community Chest Support Fund. So follow them on the Twitter at Golding Homes, or check out on their website, which is www.goldinghomes.org.uk. That's goldinghomes.org.uk. And I also heard about this from the lovely Gemma, Lucy and Nat. You will have seen the government's announcement on the 4th of January that we've entered a third national lockdown. We're aware of how difficult this situation has left many businesses in, and that there is a strong possibility that many businesses will be thinking of having to make staff redundancies in the not too distant future. Therefore, we will be hosting a webinar on Friday the 22nd of January at 10 a.m. for employers on how to conduct redundancies. During the webinar, our CEO Gemma will discuss alternatives to redundancy, reasons for redundancy, the legal procedures necessary, how to choose a selection process, how to conduct a redundancy consultation, the minimum time limits for those making multiple redundancies, how to calculate redundancy payments, common mistakes that employers make during redundancy process, and delegates will also be provided with template redundancy letters. The tickets are £50 plus VAT and a booking fee, and you can book by going to eventbrite.co.uk/makingredundancies. That's from Lucy at Orchard Employment Law. And if you need, you can call them on 01634, that's Medway, 01634 564 136, Medway 564 136, Orchard Employment Law. Do check out that webinar, everything you need to know about the redundancy process, on Friday the 22nd of January. Right, let's see what else we've got on the Twitter. Best business events. Make your business stand out during 2021. Reach a significant number of potential new businesses. A great marketing opportunity. Only 3 sponsorship opportunities remaining for the Awards in Kent series for 2021. Best business events are running awards in Canterbury, Ashford and Maidstone areas. They're not just the specific towns, but the whole geographic areas there. And they have 3 spaces left for sponsorship opportunities. So do get in touch with Best Business Events if you'd like to find out more about that. Or you can go to their website and find out about it, which is businessawardskent.co.uk/sponsorship. That's businessawardskent.co.uk/sponsorship. The lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors. Paul, we'd love a Business Bunker shout out. Thank you very much. Of course, you're very welcome. MPSL on the Twitter, Michael Park Surveyors, everything to do with commercial property in the southeast of England, they're the people to talk to. MPSL on the Twitter, give them a follow. One more tweet before we play some cheesy tunage from Karen Pines. Hello, Paul, Business Bunker. Lots more to offer. Are you 45 plus, unemployed or facing redundancy? Helping older workers move closer to the employment market. Here at the Social Enterprise Kent have a range of employability projects to suit all, and we can help meet your training requirements. Give them a follow on the Twitter. You can follow Karen at Pines, P-I-N-E-S, underscore Karen, or you can follow Social Enterprise Kent on their Twitter handle, which is S-O-C-E-N-T Kent, Sock Ent Kent. So check that out if you're an older member of the workforce, 45 plus, and you're facing redundancy or you're unemployed and you'd like some help. What a great thing to do. I think we've got loads more. We've got so many tweets. I'll come back to some more tweets later on, but for the moment I think it's about time we play some cheesy tunage. So how about this?
Your head. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
You see what I did there? The heat is on, Glenn Frey, and that leads us nicely into talking to our first guest. It was an absolute pleasure to catch up with the lovely Joe Allsop of the Heating Hub. Let's hear what Joe had to say.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show, Joe Allsop. Good afternoon, Joe. Happy New Year to you. Thank you for joining us on the show. It's a real pleasure to have you back on the show. Why don't you kick off by telling the listeners a bit about the Heating Hub?
Well, we've been on a few times before, haven't we? So it's been through a few incarnations, but we've just relaunched it with some consumer one-to-one help services. We previously relaunched the website as a standalone business, and we're just offering consumer advice and kind of referrals to great local businesses. Mm. But with COVID and with the help of Innovate UK, we've changed how we do things. So we've become more consumer focused. Right. We're completely independent, completely impartial. We provide expert one-to-one help with people's heating systems, because it really is a bit of a minefield to get that right yourself. Yep. And we do provide a lot of information online, and it's free. But in turn, when it comes down to your individual circumstances, you kind of need your hand holding and someone working on your behalf and acting in your best interests.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's so much happening now in your industry that keeping up with it as a layperson is difficult. Yeah, I know you've talked a lot about condensing boilers. Yes. and their lack of condensing, and I want to kind of just touch on that with you. But of course, the big question that the public has is that our politicians have announced the ending of gas boilers at some ridiculous time in the next year or so, and we're all sitting here going, well, what are we going to do to heat our house? Because if you think I'm using electricity, you've got another thing coming, because my electric bills are already through the roof. So there's those kind of issues to talk about as well. Yeah, and we're going to be talking on the show also about other forms of heating, but I kind of want your view as a gas heating specialist on all of those things. So let's start with just going over some of the things about conventional or condensing gas boilers and the kind of boilers that we're using at the moment. What are some of the issues that you see, Joe, when people are looking at heating their home?
Well, so with conventional heating systems that we have now, gas boilers, one of the biggest problems is the heating control. And we all would like to upgrade to a smart control or have upgraded to a smart control, but the building regs are a bit of a mess. They don't require the controls to speak the same language. So we all have what are known as modulating boilers, which means the output of the boiler can vary and that saves you gas. But what is not required, so it doesn't happen, is that a boiler should have a modulating control. We think that smart controls are smart. Actually, they're not always that smart. They're operating in quite a basic way if they don't speak the same language as a boiler. And it doesn't help that a few boiler manufacturers keep their languages private, so third-party controls won't operate them. I mean, they'll work, but they'll just work on a less efficient setting. So that's one of the sort of immediate problems for consumers, and actually an easy way for the government to reduce our gas consumption.
Right.
It's just to provide some more help around getting the right controls on your gas boiler, and that's a few hundred pounds, and that can be done tomorrow.
Right. Sorry to interrupt you there. If someone's interested in this and they can't be bothered to wait for the government to give them some good advice, are they able to look at advice on the Heating Hub and maybe help themselves?
Yeah, there is a huge control section, actually, that we've tried to look at which boilers work with which controls. And there are some regulations around what you put with the new boiler. So we try to guide on different types of boilers, what types of controls go best, and if you've got an existing boiler, what to look for. But I mean, I spent a few months researching it, and I was really just an enthusiastic consumer trying to educate myself in order to write about it. And it really did take that long, and I spent a lot of time on the phone to technical helplines, to, you know, phoning Honeywell and Tado and Nest, and just trying to understand it, and eventually came to light, and I eventually found someone in the industry who now sits on our expert panel who could sort of explain it really clearly. So we try to do that for consumers, but still most of the time they still need to come to us and say, can you do it for us? We can't really work it out ourselves. So we're kind of doing that matrix thing of, you know, we can see it clearly for them, right. And helping them through make a better decision.
Okay, but I mean, if we can resolve some of those issues, that will translate into using less gas, presumably, which is an environmentally friendly target, and presumably also reduce our gas bills.
Yeah, well, yes, exactly that. And you know, there's other things as well. When you're replacing your boiler, when people are coming through us, we can help them pair the boiler, pair the control, get the installer right. And we've got a huge skills gap where, based on our research, we found that 99% of gas engineers haven't been trained in condensing boiler technology. And it's shocking, really. And it means that probably 99% of boilers out there are not operating at their A-rated efficiencies. So what we have to say is boilers are not A-rated out of the box. It's not like a fridge. You know, you do need an installer to be competent in the technology, and that hasn't happened. And the danger is that this translates over to renewables, where we expect to be fitting 1 million heat pumps by the end of the decade every year. And we're asking gas boilers to upskill in that technology. But as you say, if we convert to electricity, and if we're as casual with heat pumps as we are with fitting gas boilers, and you know, and the efficiencies are not there, then we suddenly have huge electricity bills. There are some real barriers to making that transition to electric heating, and they're sort of bedded in the shortfall of the gas heating industry at the moment.
I've got a sick look on my face at the moment. As you know, Joe, because you and I know each other very well, I've had enormous problems with my gas boilers over the years, which always stop working on Christmas Eve, no matter what, every year, so that we freeze. But bizarrely, I actually have a heat pump as well.
Do you?
And the heat pump packed up. But it packed up in a way that it wouldn't switch off. So it kept heating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 35 degrees, and just kept going. Now, luckily, it was only heating a swimming pool. The bizarre thing was that the heat pump was running doing that, but it never heated the swimming pool. so me and heat pumps aren't getting on very well either.
We're not friends either.
Yeah, no. I think it just must be me.
I think you are the common factor in all of these scenarios.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
The thing about heat pumps is that that we've got to undergo a program of retrofit for our homes. I know you use yours for your pool, but for homes, they have to run at those lower temperatures, like you say, 35 degrees, 45 degrees. So it just won't work with our existing radiators unless we massively insulate our homes, which is what the government want us to do. So huge program of retrofit. Or we increase the size of our radiators, which is not always practical if you're in a two-bedroom Victorian terrace. You know? So it's there are lots of things that need to be dealt with before we make that transition.
As a layperson in all of this, and being cynical about politicians, I think this is the biggest problem that I look at when I look at these kind of initiatives that they come out with, is they come out with headline initiatives, but they don't think of the ramifications. They don't think of how you're going to roll it. You know, they go, we're going to end gas boilers by 2030 or whatever it is at the moment, and we're going to do away with cars by 2035. They never think about what you're going to replace it with, or how you're going to do it, and, you know, who's going to do it, and how it's going to work if you're, you know, because they talk about this with new build homes as a starting point, but you know, 90% of us, 95% of us don't live in new build homes. Some of us live in homes that were built, you know, in the last millennium or the millennium before that. You know, and that has a whole heap of ramifications for how you do things. But I want to come back to some of the things I've heard about gas boilers, because I think no matter what the government think, gas boilers are going to be around for a while yet. You know, not least of which, people who are going to go, do you know what, I'm just going to try and keep my boiler going for as long as I can. You know, and it's the same with, it will be the same with cars, won't it? That people will go, well, I know that I'm not supposed to have a diesel anymore, but I've got a diesel and it costs me a lot of money, therefore I'm going to keep running it. So the issue that I see with a lot of boilers is, it seems to me that people have got the wrong boiler in the first place.
Yeah, well, they usually have an oversized boiler. It usually is poorly specified, and we do have a problem with over replacement actually in the UK. There's a study from Europe that says boilers should last 22 years, and we replace, you know, they can't work. Even on manufacturers' websites, they say they last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
I see sites suggesting that at 7 years that your boiler might need replacement. And sometimes they do, because they've been oversized and set up poorly and suffer with premature aging. And sometimes it's just poor advice. Actually, a lot of our work, when we get customers who come and pay for our advice, is to say, don't change your boiler. We can make it more efficient. So I think we have to think about gas boilers. Yes, they are going to leave us probably about the mid-2030s, and we'll transition away from them. But I think we'll be ready to move at that point, hopefully, because the government, hopefully, will have done this program of retrofit and come up with some replacements. I mean, there is talk about hydrogen boilers as well.
I was going to ask you about that, because initially when the government came out with this, they started going on about replacing with hydrogen boilers, and I'm thinking, but they don't even exist at the moment.
No, there's less certainty around that than there is around heat pumps. So hydrogen, they've done some tests that suggest that they can mix 20% hydrogen into our existing gas supplies. Our boilers will carry on working, so we won't notice any different. Hopefully. Doesn't blow up or anything. And the infrastructure can stay the same. What the Committee for Climate Change have said is that they see about 11% of homes having full hydrogen boilers, but the technology has yet to be fully established. And it will probably be what they call hydrogen clusters. So they have a sort of industrial clusters that are run on hydrogen, and then homes nearby will probably run on hydrogen as well. But I don't feel like what I've read so far is a wholesale replacement of gas boilers with hydrogen boilers. I think it would just be too hard. It's going to be a mixture of technologies. Yeah. And what they'll probably look at is local areas to decide what they want to adopt. So that's a sort of sense of local.
It's like a lot of things, isn't it? And like a lot of technology that's decided on from the middle of London. that something might work in a big city, but once you get out into the real world, you know, like 10 miles outside of London, it isn't quite the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, where I live, I'm not remote. I live on a main road outside a small town, but there's nothing near me. There's just me. So, you know, you wouldn't put a hub for anything here, because it wouldn't...
I don't know what you're going to do, Paul.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that...
You're going to start a fire.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to open up my chimneys again. Yeah, wood burning stoves, that's the way forward.
That's the way forward. Hundreds of them all around the house.
Yeah, exactly. You can cook on them too, apparently. But tell me if I'm wrong, but there was something where they were saying, you know, oh, well, we can just start shoving hydrogen down the gas transmission networks. But I don't think that's true, is it?
I don't think so. I read, they're looking at the technology all the time, but I read that the existing infrastructure is not suitable. And certainly within the home, you can't use, you have to employ slightly different installation techniques and pipe work. So that would need to change. I feel like all of it has to change, but they can mix in 20% without changing anything. So, but that's not a net reduction of 20%. That's the net reduction is something like 6 to 10%. And I think the argument for me is well, you could do that with an effective heating control. You know, if you just want to reduce carbon emissions by 10%, with the technology's already there to put a decent heating control and just get it set up properly. But if it all comes off, then it would all contribute to our carbon reduction.
No, but I think what you've said, it makes absolute sense to me that the practical reality of everyday life should be to just set up what we've got to work efficiently.
Yeah.
You know, because so many of us don't do things efficiently, and I'm the worst in the world at being efficient about anything. You know, I go to bed and leave all the lights on downstairs and all that kind of nonsense. And although my boys don't live at home anymore, when they did, they were a bloody nightmare. I came home at midnight one night with nobody in the house because they'd all gone out, and there was still a pizza cooking in the oven. or what was left of the pizza.
I still had a kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, you know, there are things that we can do as human beings to improve our position with this. Just in kind of wrapping up on this, the Heating Hub has lots and lots of information about gas boilers and a lot of the issues that we've just discussed around gas boilers and how to set up smart controls and all the rest of it. As an organisation, as you said, you're an independent organisation and you have a panel of people that are experts in different areas of the market that you can call on to give you information. I mean, do you offer services to people helping them actually do this? Because a lot of us go, do you know what? I'd like to reduce my gas bill. I haven't got a clue how to do this. And, you know, I don't want to just call some random person and hope they know what they're doing. Yeah. I mean, because that's a lot of the problem, as I see it, with most technology, is you think you want to do something, but how do you tell if the person you've, you know, employed to do it is competent to do it? You know, as you just kind of highlighted, a lot of people are still misinstalling gas boilers and they're accredited gas boiler installers, but they're not configuring them properly.
Well, we trust that the person coming around is gas safe registered, but actually that particular competency doesn't include heating system design. So it's a huge gap in their knowledge. And it's the heating system design bit is getting the boiler size right, getting the control right, making sure you've done a heat loss of your home. And that's what we're missing. But there is a sort of small contingent of engineers that are working at that level. So what we've done in the months leading up to our relaunch is that we've written a new higher standard of how gas boilers should be installed to run at their higher efficiency. It's higher than building regs. And we've recruited engineers, and they're all independent, but we have a network of guys that have gone through a technical competency test, and they can fit to that standard. They're already doing it, and we did some market research to make sure that there were some people working at that level.
Right.
And then we've come up with a couple of packages, one of which has come up quite quickly post-launch, because we just found there was a demand for larger houses or more complex heating systems, or where they wanted to understand renewables. Just took a bit more time. So we've got one service at 120, which is, I've got a gas boiler, I need a new gas boiler, or I might just want to improve the efficiency. I want independent advice. I've had loads of different people around. They've all given me conflicting advice. I feel like I'm being fobbed off. You know, I said I want a Nest and they won't do it because they don't fit it. You know, so it's like, it's trying to work out what people's pains are and come in with the independent advice. We give them a specification so they can take that specification, and we give them a referral to an installer near them that's passed our test that can come and quote and fit it. So that's one. And then very quickly we launched the slightly more in-depth service, which is £300. And for that, we do a more detailed heat loss of their home. And then we look at which technologies are suitable. And we always start with the heat loss. We will say, what do you actually need? Because most people are putting 30 kilowatt boilers into 5 kilowatt houses. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
So we're trying to take the steps that engineers should take themselves, but often don't have the time because they've been pushed on price. You know, the market is price driven. So they've had their time squeezed. So we sort of take those steps for them, but they're acting on behalf of the consumer. Then we can hand over a consumer and a specification to that installer, and they can work with someone that's already kind of geared up to their messages, because quite often they're talking about smaller boilers and more efficiency, you know, all the things that we've kind of put on our website, and it's falling on deaf ears because they're the only one saying those things. Everybody else is saying put a 30 kilowatt boiler in. So they're kind of like, they look a bit odd, but actually they're normally right. So it's just really helping consumers through that process. And we very quickly evolved into renewables, which is a core business drive for us anyway. We started with gas, but renewables is where we want to be.
Yeah.
So it's pleasing to be getting those customers so quickly and being able to help them as well.
Fantastic. Joe, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you on the Business Bunker Show. Thank you so much for sharing that, once we're back from COVID. Well, I mean, even while we're all locked down from COVID, I think we're finding out the cost of our heating by being locked at home.
Watching that meter go round.
It's scary. It's absolutely scary, yeah. I'm back into dad mode. It's like Blackpool Illuminations round here. Turn the lights off. Turn the heating down, yeah. Thank you so much, Joe. Give us a shout out for the Heating Hub website so that people can go have a look, see at the services you offer, see at the information that's there, and get a better view on what's going on with the whole heating industry. So give us a shout for your website.
Yeah, it's theheatinghub.co.uk.
Fantastic. Joe, thank you so much. Lovely to speak to you. Do stay safe, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you, Paul. Take care.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
That was Joe Allsop of the Heating Hub there, talking about gas boilers, smart controls, and the potential for alternative ways of saving on our carbon emissions and saving on our gas bills. Do check out their website, the Heating Hub. I've had a number of tweets. Green Business, hello Business Bunker, we'd love a shout out. We're a new platform promoting and connecting businesses and consumers with sustainable products and services in the marketplace. And then they go on to say, where's the next tweet, sorry, there was the next, here it is. Vanilla Web, a Heating Hub, enjoying the show. There's a domestic housing retrofit seminar for Kent being organised on the 26th to the 28th of January. You can drop into it, which will be of interest to suppliers. And the details of that can be found at Low Carbon Homes, supporting Kent's retrofit ambitions, 26th to the 28th of January. It's a free 3-day online seminar and drop-in session with Low Carbon Homes. That's a Twitter handle, at Low Carbon Homes. So check it out, at Low Carbon Homes. Also check out Green Business Hub, Green Biz, B-I-Z, Green Biz Hub, all one word. Give them a check out. They're a website where you can find everything eco-friendly and green, services, products, all kinds of things that you may need for your home or business. Check it out. The website that they have there, and their website is Green Business Hub. Business in the full business .eco. Greenbusinesshub.eco is their website. Do check them out. Right, what else have we got here? We got loads of things coming in. Zeenat Narani has said, boilers are a minefield to understand. Going to the Heating Hub where can we go to find easy info and easy to understand? Going to the Heating Hub will be a great benefit. Absolutely. Intune PR, another fine show. Glad that the Rotary Club Bromley, I mentioned that earlier, had a mention via the show, and courtesy of Zeenat, whose own show is on Fridays covering mental health. Indeed it is, at 11 o'clock. The lovely Alex Waterton, F Keys. Hi, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker. Happy New Year. Please can you give ADM Computing a shout out, as they are again running some sponsored MS Office 365 courses for those wishing to gain an overview of Office 365. You can go to their website, which is ADM-computing.co.uk, ADM-computing.co.uk, to find out about their MS Office courses. Do check all of that out. Right. I want to tell you about this. A friend of mine, Ben Legg, Ben enjoyed a massively successful corporate career with a lot of big organisations and big brands at a senior level. And he's now started his own business. And he's saying January is a time for career reflection. If you know of any smart, driven, mid-career professionals seeking career inspiration, please do let them know about my weekly portfolio career workshop. Now, you can find out all the details at the website, which is portfolio-collective.com/portfolio-collective. Portfolio Career Workshop. I'll give you that web address again in a moment. But portfolio careers are effectively finding multiple ways to monetize your skills, knowledge and possessions and passions, as opposed to having just one job. Our 60-minute free workshop helps people understand what portfolio careers are, why they are booming and what it takes to succeed. Since lockdown began, we've helped hundreds of professionals launch successful portfolio careers. In 2021, we want to make that thousands, and that's best wishes from Ben Legg. Portfolio careers are interesting. First touted in the 1970s by Professor Charles Handy, in which he talked about shamrock organisations and portfolio careers. As someone that's had a portfolio career for a long time myself, I can tell you how effective this is. And the, people would refer to it in different ways. Another way of looking at this is developing multiple stacks of competencies. So you have different competencies in different fields, which gives you resilience as well. So if you have a portfolio career where you have some different skills and experiences and abilities and talents, if one thing starts to dry up, you've got something else to call back on. Anyway, check out Ben's workshop on how to build a portfolio career, and I'll give you the website again. It's portfolio-collective.com/portfolio-career-workshop. So portfolio career workshop. Do check it out. That'll be a fascinating workshop to get along to and attend if you want to build a portfolio career, and I suggest you do, even if you have a permanent job. Stacking your skills in different silos and building different skill sets is going to be a big requirement for the future, because change is so rapid. Hey, look, just look at the last 18 months and what's happened, kind of accidentally, if you will. Nobody planned this, and funnily enough, I'm just doing my end of year accounts, and one of the questions my accountants always ask me when they produce the final figures is this in line with your expectations at the start of the year? And it did make me snigger this time, because my expectations at the start of my financial year, which was September 2019 in this instance, did not involve a pandemic, getting locked down and having the economy trashed. I just didn't see that coming for some reason. Anyway, the Construction Southeast Awards 2021. How would you like to have an award-winning next to your name or name of your business? We want to recognise the achievements, developments and innovations around the Southeast construction industries. Application is quick and easy. Enter for free now. So if you run a construction business in the southeast of England, you can enter yourself for this Construction Southeast Awards 2021 by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/business-events. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk or bizradio.co.uk, there's a tab that says business events. If you click that tab, all the information and the click through is there. Give it a check out, have a look, see what's going on. Do keep your tweets coming. We've had a load of tweets today, which is lovely. And we've still got more and more tweets coming in. And I will try and read them all out. Phil Wilson, Pip Drums on the Twitter, says, "You're not alone. I'm listening in." Well, thank you, Pip. Glad to hear from you. What else we got? Charity Buddy, "Hi Paul, just got back from the dentist. No fillings." Yay, nice one, Martin. "Straight back onto homeschooling, so catch up with the show later. Hope you're having a fab show." Thank you, Martin. Good luck with the homeschooling, mate. It's not easy, is it? I think our respect for teachers has gone up enormously since we all had to homeschool. Finding out just how difficult that can be. Thank you to everyone who supported the Marsh Network and attended our meetings during 2020. Despite the challenges, the numbers attending meetings have grown, and membership of our two Facebook pages, the Romney Marsh Networking Group and the Ryan Networking Over Coffee Group, have increased, with people attending from as far apart as Bexhill, Medway and Deal, and many other areas of East Sussex and Kent. We will continue to hold our online Marsh Network meetings every 2 weeks and aim to put in place an integrated model, including face-to-face meetings, as soon as it is safe and legal to do so. The next meeting is scheduled for the 20th of January, and you can book now by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Marsh Network. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Marsh Network. To ensure that you keep your place at future meetings, there are meetings right up to the end of March listed there. So while you're there, why not put a diary entry and a provisional booking as well? So Terry says, stay safe and well, and we look forward to seeing you all at the January 20th meeting. And that's Terry Botfield. So do check that out if you're on the Romney Marsh or the Rye, Canberra Sands, Winchelsea area. There are two meetings there for you that are very popular network meetings that are currently being held virtually. Okay, there's been a number of government announcements again in terms of lockdown, which we're now all well into for the second week. They have announced some extra grant funding. So on the bunker, we have put together a blog about the new grants and furlough schemes with a link to every website in Kent and Medway councils. So basically, if you go into this, there's a link for your local area. You click the link, it will take you to the appropriate part of the website in your local council area for how you can go about claiming your grants. But I have to warn you, a lot of them just say, we don't know, because the government haven't told them yet, and the government certainly haven't given them any money yet. So like a lot of things, the announcement has come way before the facilities to actually deliver anything, which isn't very useful really, but it's pretty typical of how government behaves these days. So a lot of them just don't have the money or the information available yet, but it's worth going there, checking, making sure that is the case, and if it is the case, just bookmarking it so that when they, and some of them allow you to let you register, so they'll let you know when they do have the information. So do check that out, have a look at it and see what grants are available for you and your business in your area. Okay. I've had a an email from HMRC, as you do. You can now submit your claims under the coronavirus job retention scheme for periods in December 2020. These have to be made by the 14th of January. So that's what, Thursday. They have to be made by this Thursday. Make sure you have the latest information by joining a live coronavirus job retention scheme webinar. And on the webinar, it includes who can claim, who you can claim for, how to calculate what you can claim, and how to make a claim. They'll continue to update the webinars to reflect the latest information as it becomes available. And to do that, if you go to register.gotowebinar.com, you can find all the details about HMRC webinars right there. Okay. Oh, we've got more tweets coming in. I nearly dropped my phone there. Sorry about that. Great, Zina said, great interview with Joe, super useful. If only all info was as easy as she made it. I'll tell you what, that Joe and Caroline that run the Heating Hub are absolutely brilliant. They really do know their stuff. They are experts in their field, and they are, as she said, totally independent. So they're not tied into one particular manufacturer or one particular installer or anything. So you are getting totally and utterly impartial advice. And Joe does a huge amount of research, massive amounts of research on what's going on in the heating industry and what the issues are and what the technical problems are and what the fixes are and what the alternatives are. But it really is, and the website has a lot of very useful information on it, so do just check out the website. Just, you don't have to do anything else, just go and look around the information on the website. There's some really useful stuff about how to size your boiler, about smart controls, all kinds of stuff on there. Check it out, heatinghub.co.uk. it's a fantastic website. So thank you, Zenat, for that tweet. There's a new grant scheme being launched for SMEs in the construction industry. Robert Edge and Patrick Maynard are pleased to announce the launch of the iConstruct project. This helps SMEs in the construction and built environment sectors in Essex, Kent and East Sussex to embrace innovation and access new business opportunities. It offers three types of support: grant funding, mentoring and access to a supply chain development network. The grant funding, worth between £1,000 and £20,000, is available to part fund the development or launch of a new product or service, which also offers wider innovation benefits to the construction sector, such as improving productivity and sustainability. SMEs can also benefit from up to 9 hours of free one-to-one business support worth up to £1,200 through the iConstruct mentoring scheme. All eligible participants will have free access to the iConstruct network worth up to £800. If you want to find out more, go to their website, which is www.i-construct.org.uk. That's i-construct.org.uk. If you're an SME in the southeast of England in the construction industry, you can find lots of resources at i-construct.org.uk. Do check it out. What else have we got here? We've got the Maidstone Innovation Centre. Maidstone Innovation Centre welcomes their first tenant. Construction work of the Maidstone Innovation Centre has continued at pace and at the Kent Medical Campus. The building is on course to open next summer, and Maidstone Borough Council has welcomed its first tenant, Creation.co, one of the world's leading consultancies for insights-led health strategy. Maidstone's Innovation Centre will be a mixed-use medtech-based development, providing flexible office space, facilities and business support for small and medium-sized companies working in the life science, healthcare and medical sectors. Daniel Jin, founder and CEO of Creation.co, said, "We're delighted to be taking office space at Maidstone's Innovation Centre. As an insights-led strategy company, we now work with most of the top 20 pharmaceutical companies. We're involved with delivering some of the most exciting data-led projects to teams around the world, and we wanted to build on our significant growth in 2020 by creating a new strategic HQ. Having been a local Maidstone company for over 20 years, we're really excited to be part of this new development at Kent Medical Campus. The brand new Innovation Centre forms part of the North Kent Enterprise Zone and will be a perfect addition for businesses by creating an inspiring environment with a flexible, supportive and professional approach. For those looking to start, develop or transform their companies, it will fast become the place to impress clients, motivate their teams and drive their future. Despite delays to the work because of the COVID-19 lockdowns, building work has continued and the Innovation Centre is now taking shape in preparation for new businesses to move in during the summer of 2021. And for those that don't know, that's next to the KIMS, the medical centre at Junction 7 of the M20, just between Maidstone and Bearsted. And that's where the new Kent Medical Campus is. So fantastic. And we wish much success to Dan Jin and Creation.co as the first tenants there, the first of what I'm sure will be very many new tenants in what is a fantastic development, raising the profile of the Maidstone area in general. Do you know what we're going to do now? I think it's probably time that we joined the Channel Radio News room. When we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to, and we're going to cover the Federation of Small Business News. But for the moment, let's join the newsroom.